Now, we move to the third part, which is the second reading, which is 1 Corinthians 10:31-11:1, three verses. I'm going to expand that so that you can see what's going on here. This is Paul stretching himself to preach the gospel. You know, when you're street preaching sometimes, you got to say, I'll take any amount of abuse if I just stand here and deliver the word. That's kind of what Paul's doing here. You'll hear it. Okay, so the whole discussion, maybe I should read a little bit of it first so that you get the idea. It's in Corinthians. I've tried to describe the Corinthian community for you a few times. They are an exuberant bunch. They love the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, and they got all their own great theories. Like, once I'm baptized, I'm above morality. Remember, I think we've done that already. It's in chapter 6, you see. The body, the food is for the stomach for the food, the body for sex, sex for the body. He says, no way. See, they're acting very enlightened. And Paul says, no. The body is for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. The Lord is for the body. His body, dying on the cross, has liberated your body to be with Him forever in heaven. So we act like that now. All right. That's not our question right now. Question here. Corinthians have written him a letter, probably, and asked, so what about this? What about that? You know, they are, as I say, an exuberant group. And as he says himself, consider your own call, brothers. Not many of you were wise. Not many of you were rich. It's a big port town. Okay. So, the question that he's immediately dealing with is idolatry. And all the temples, they offer, cows and sheep and goats, to the gods. What happens to all that meat? Goes around the corner, it gets sold in the market. So the Christian's saying, look, this has been offered to idols. I don't want to touch it. You know, it's got all involved with Satan and all that stuff. I don't want it. Paul says, okay, fine. Some other enlightened souls are saying, no, you just say grace and you can eat anything you want, you know, and they're probably more correct. But Paul is saying, who cares about who's enlightened? The question is, how do you care for your brother and sister? If this is going to disturb them, then you don't do it. I don't care how enlightened you are. And then he gives himself as an example, you see? And so, the text, that's what's going on here. You see, now, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of the demons. Or are we provoking the Lord to anger? Are we stronger than He? You don't indiscriminately go to one or the other. You know? If you're going to be heavy into the New Age, well then, you know, you can't reprocess all that that goes on at Mass into terms of your New Age. Stick with your New Age, though I pray to God you'll get out of it, because that's a dangerous place to be. Okay. So, he takes a slogan that they've got, you see? And it says, I have to find my place now. See? Everything is lawful. But not everything is beneficial. Everything is lawful. But not everything builds up. In other words, no one should seek his own advantage, but that of his neighbor. What a piece of advice, huh? If every parish were to do that. You see? Look out for your neighbor. Not only in regard to his conscience, but to his well-being. Pray for his family if they're having troubles. look out for your neighbor. You see? Eat anything sold in the market without raising questions on grounds of conscience. Was this offered into that temple over there? Don't ask him. You know, demons are nothing. Take it, bless it, and eat it. But if your brother will be wounded in his conscience from that, forget it. You see his point? What he's trying to tell us? Your brother and your sister are more important than your enlightened conscience. See, eat anything sold in the market without raising questions on grounds of conscience. For, now he quotes, the earth is the earth and its fullness are the Lord's. If an unbeliever invites you and you want to go, eat whatever is placed before you without raising questions on grounds of, was this offered to Jupiter today before you cooked it? Jupiter's nothing. Now, if you're nervous, then don't go. Or, if your brother's there and he's nervous, don't eat it. Why? Because your brother is more important than your enlightened conscience. That's why. Much more important. You might be so smart and you know all this, but if you offend your brother, you show how really deeply stupid you are. Because you belong to the same body of Christ as your brother or sister. And if this is going to offend them and make them nervous, they're going to see you eating it, and then with a guilty conscience thinking there's demons around, they eat it, and they're all upset and nervous and frightened, and it's all your fault. See, I can do what I want. You cannot do what you want if you're a Christian. That's that. Well, I'm enlightened. Well, I'm happy that you're enlightened. But unless you're enlightened enough to care for your brother and sister, you're not very enlightened. That's his principle, you see. Can you see how many wisecracks from the pulpit or from the congregation would be eliminated? Because I'm worried about my brother and my sister's conscience, okay? But if someone says to you, this was offered in sacrifice, do not eat it on account of the one who called attention to it, on account of conscience. I mean, not your own conscience, but the others. Do you see the compassion of Paul? Most vigorous, probably enlightened mind when it comes to this stuff, whoever lived. I know it's all balderdash. I know there's no, you know, Jesus Christ, you bless that food. And there's no more demons in it. That's that. But if some people are nervous, their faith isn't strong enough, don't trouble them. You're going to have to see the same thing in another way in the letter to the Romans. Certain foods are good for you. Certain foods are contaminated. Certain foods, you know, that's all the New Age stuff. Cut your carrots at 45 degrees angle. You know, sit on the floor with your legs crossed and breathe deep. And you'll have a moment of eternity. That's crazy. But if somebody's just coming out of that, you want to care for them more than show them how enlightened you are. Am I making myself clear? I guess I am. You see? So. But if someone says to you, this was offered in sacrifice, do not eat it on account of the one who called attention to it and on account of conscience. I mean, not your conscience, but the others. For why should my freedom be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake thankfully, why am I reviled for that over which I give thanks? Because of my brother. Now, we have the part that we have in our text today. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Eis doxon Theou. Everything you do for the glory of God. But what gives great glory to God is love. Love somebody enough. I've got this great big hunk of steak here. I'm ready to tuck into it. And somebody says, was that offered in the temple? I know that makes no difference, but he doesn't. So if I'm so smart and eat it and offend his conscience, I sin. You see how important this is. What is the cardinal rule? Love, not steak. You see? This is very important. You don't have to be a slave to people who are super, super, super. You know, just don't eat steak in front of them. You know, but and love them and see whether you can get it out. So whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Avoid giving offense, whether to the Jews or Greeks or the Church of God. So, you give offense to the Jews when you don't eat kasher, right? If I'm Jewish and I become a Christian, all those kasher or kosher rules don't apply anymore to me. But if that's going to be offensive to my Jewish brothers and sisters who are not Christian, I won't. I won't eat it. It doesn't come in this text, but Paul says in this context, if eating meat would offend my brother, I'll never eat meat again the rest of my life. The beauty of this section, you see, is love. And the level, the intensity of the love that we should have. Right? Just as I try to please everyone in every way, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, that they may be saved. And then, the text goes down into chapter 11, this one line, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Now, there's a profound principle here. How do I know how to imitate Christ? Two ways. One, read the gospel. See him in action. See his compassion. See his delicacy. See his wisdom. Imitate Christ, you see? That way. The other way, as it says in the text I quote a lot from 1 John 3:16, in this we know the love, that he laid down his life for us. And so we too should lay our lives down for the brothers. Imitate him. Die for the brothers. Then he gives an example. You've heard me on this a lot, but it's a good example. If a man has enough food, enough clothes, and everything's comfy, and his brother's over there with not enough to eat, and it's cold, he has no sweater, and you close your heart to him, how can you say the love of God is in you? It's not. Brothers, sisters, let us love, you see, in word and deed, not in tongue indeed in action, not in tongue and word. That's not going to help anybody. Imitate Christ means he laid down his life for us, so we lay down our life for one another. Sometimes it's a little thing. You know, you're in a hurry to get to the store and somebody says, can you drop me off over there on your way? And you go, but you do it. Because that's Christ. And so you see, the principle is large. And it's not to be a super nice guy. It's to be Christ. Amen.